Wow. Wow. This is the Freedom Theme, broadcasting from Pod Bay, sit and stay, 82 feet above sea level at Intergalactic K9 Studios. We loosen your leashes, unlatch those gauge doors, and distract your handlers to keep the shock collar of statism from being clamped down on your neck. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Nick and Lisa and Michael?
Yes, I can feel it.
And as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Mew. My wife is petting a cat and talking sweetly and softly to it. One of our cats got fixed today.
Oh, that's right. That was today.
Yep. Today. And, you know, like I said last night on the show to MK Lords, every time a cat loses his testicles, a feminist gets its wings. I don't know if that's true, but the female cat in the house is suddenly not yelling and is like cuddling with us again. And
Just
really didn't like the male ball cat balls being in the house, I guess.
There was too much testosterone.
There was.
The cat said no.
Yep. And this cat is really subdued and came home acting kind of drunk and was walking around, but not in a good way, you know, like not fun.
Well, that's what happens when they knock them out for that stuff, that anesthesia. The stuff they use to knock them out and ketamine. Yeah, well, they don't always use ketamine. Did they use ketamine? Do you know?
I don't ask. I don't want to ask that. They'll get why? Like, why are you? Why?
Well, no,
I ask. If someone breaks in, they'll think it was me.
I ask all the time just because I have a little bit of a background in it. And I like to know what my animals are getting, just like I know what my kids are getting. So
yeah.
But yeah, but I was saying it doesn't matter whatever cocktail they give them to knock them down to do the surgery. The stuff they give them afterwards is just as powerful to keep them from hurting themselves. So that's usually what makes them even loopier.
Yes. Bye, DJ. Mew. So both the cat and I had surgery today. I got trepanned. You know what trepan is? Trepanation. I got a hole in my head. For good reasons, to let out the state of spirits. And isn't that the name of the show tonight? Something like trepan yourself to let out the state of spirits. Was that it?
Yeah,
something along those lines.
I
think we changed it to I got trepan to get rid of the state of spirits. You can too.
That's too long. I like that.
What did I just say? I just said is better. Trepan.
Well, that was
yourself.
That was closer to the one that we had originally, so we'll go with that.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. But trepanation, in case you don't know, is a medieval surgical procedure where they actually drilled holes in the human brain to let out evil spirits. And the reason I'm tending towards the trepan yourself line is it reminds me of the movie Pi. You ever see the movie Pi, any of you?
Not yet.
No, I never get
it's on my list.
My wife can't watch it because it's about a guy with migraines, and she used to have migraines. A guy who had migraines who trepans himself with a power drill in his studio apartment to get rid of the voices in his head that are. It's an interesting movie, and it's directed by Darren Aronofsky, who I interviewed in my movie Hubert Selby Jr. It'll Be Better Tomorrow, which you can watch on YouTube.
One step closer to bingo.
That guy was the director of Requiem for a Dream, which was a movie which was made from a Selby book. And this movie is interesting for a lot of reasons. And one is that it stars the actor who plays the guy in Breaking Bad who never speaks, who just speaks with his bell, the guy of Oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who actually plays a Hispanic in that movie, in that show, but he's actually Jewish and plays a Jewish pawnbroker who's buying our hero in Requiem for a Dream, played by Jared Leto. He steals his mother, his mother. Yeah. He steals his mother's TV and sells it for drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy plays the pawnbroker. And the first line in the book, this is like the best first line in a book ever. It's, "Harry stole his mother's TV, period, again." period. That's the complete paragraph. That's the first paragraph. Then it goes on to another paragraph. I love that.
Wow. That's a good intro.
Yeah. So I got tree panned today. I got a procedure I can't even pronounce, but basically I've mentioned on here about how I lost like a third or more of the hearing in one ear, you know, like my left ear, like it feels like I have an earplug in when I don't. And I went into an ear, nose, and throat specialist today. For some reason, the hottest women must go into that field, because every woman in this office was beautiful. Stunner, just stunner level, like as pretty as my cat Beast. So, I don't know, maybe it's coincidence, but so they basically, like, you know, they put me in this soundproof booth. I want one in my home. I want this thing they had. It's like, you know, the size of a porta potty, and like twice as big, and like completely soundproof. And they did the sound check, and they did like an ultrasound of my ear, and they discovered there's fluid clogging my eustachian tube, which is like the tube that connects your ear to your throat to your nose. Like, it's all kind of an ecosystem. Yeah. And mine was just filled up with fluid, and this is a thing. And this procedure is so invasive that in children, they do it under general anesthetic. Like, they knock them out. With adults, they... They sprayed lidocaine up my nose and put a camera tube up my nose.
I've had that done. It's trippy.
Yeah, it is. And, well, it didn't hurt, but it was really annoying. But the video was really cool. I should have filmed it. Because it starts with, like her putting it in. So, like, you see, like, part of my eyes and nose, and then it goes up, and then she pushed it back. So they did that, and then they said, well, you know, here's the problem. Here's the two solutions we suggest. One is we give you 60 milligrams of prednisone a day.
Prednisone.
And it may not work, and you'll probably have to have this invasive procedure anyway. And I'm like, I'll take the procedure, thank you. You know, because I've spent like 7 months getting from 30 milligrams of prednisone down to like, I'm at 4, 5, 6, like 7.5 milligrams a day now. I'm going down in half milligram increments. So they take me in this other room. They stick a syringe in my ear and shoot, lidocaine in my ear. By the way, when they shot the lidocaine up my nose or squirted up my nose, like, it went down into my throat, and I could kind of taste it, and it kind of numbed my tongue. And it's like, I haven't done drugs in 22 years, and I haven't done coke in about 25 years, but I was like, this is what coke felt like. It tastes terrible, and my tongue is numb. Yep. It doesn't feel good. It
goes down your throat.
Sounds about right.
Good times. But so then they do the thing to the ear. They tilt the head to the side. The doctor came in for this. Everyone else was like really beautiful, stunning nurse practitioners. Then they bring in the doctor, and he sticks a syringe of lidocaine in my ear, and that really hurt, and it was really loud, and I heard this loud pop. It sounded like an explosion. And they numbed it. And then basically he put a hole in my eardrum and sucked out the fluid with a little vacuum. And it was like the loud, it sounded like the ocean was in my ear. It was so loud. And then he put this little tiny tube in the hole in my ear to keep it open. And like, I could barely drive. Like, this totally affects, because the eustachian tube is responsible for your sense of balance. Mm-hmm. And it had, you know, like, compensated for being full. So when it was emptied, like, all of a sudden, like, I shouldn't have probably driven. Like, you know, it was like driving drunk, but I only had to drive to pick my wife up, and then she and I went to the vet to pick the cat up, and it wasn't that far. So we did that, and then I packed it with, it was packed with cotton for an hour, and then I just went to sleep with my cat, with my new harmed ballless cat next to me. It was really sweet. We slept for like 2 hours. I wasn't gonna do the show, but I can hear now out of that ear. It's really weird, man. It's bizarre.
That's trippy.
It is.
Well, yeah, it's like going from mono to stereo all of a sudden after months of it. So
yeah, what's with the ENT doctors? Because the one that stuck the tube up my nose looked like Ryan Reynolds. Like, he was right up in my face sticking this thing.
Is that hot? I don't know who Ryan Reynolds is.
Ryan Reynolds is?
What? Look him up.
I don't know who that is.
Why would I know? Yeah, so he was right up in my face sticking this thing in my nose.
Has he been in Law and Order? If he hasn't been in Law and Order or Hubert Selby movies, I don't know him.
You know, he probably. I think every actor has been. Isn't that like a rite of passage? I think they all do at least one episode.
Oh, he's the guy from Deadpool.
Yeah, so Deadpool. Yeah, that
really
guy.
He's really sarcastic, man.
Yeah, right up in my face.
Wilder.
Yeah,
oh,
Van
he's
Wilder.
In a bunch of movies I would never, ever, ever watch, man. He's in like teen romp, sex romp, summer sexploitation movies. I hate those. I hate him when I was a teen.
Yeah, but Just Friends, he was in that, and it's a stupid comedy, but it's so funny.
He's funny because he sounds gay. He's not. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I actually don't find him that attractive, really, but it was just funny. This
I
doctor
find him too sarcastic
like him.
To be attractive. I mean, I'm not attracted to guys generally, but generally, yeah. You know, I'm not much of a homosexual.
Except for your random dreams about
heteroflexible.
I'm 1/64th sodomite. What'd you say? What'd you say about Miller Miller?
I said, except for your random dreams about Miller Miller.
Yeah, I just think he's funny, man. I was dreaming.
He's very funny.
Yeah, at least I'm not dreaming about young Nick. You there, Nick?
Nick just passed out. Nick has ear problems now. What?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Suddenly, suddenly, you know, like so sometimes, like if somebody sees something horrific, they lose their sight for a few weeks. Yeah, I just made Nick lose his hearing.
Yeah. I spent so many, I went to ear, nose, and throat doctors for probably like the first 20 years of my life. I was constantly there, regular. And the first one that I went to looked like Mr. Hand from Fast Times at Ridgemont High. I always wanted to say, Mr. Han, like, what's up? But my mom was like, who? But I was trying to explain to her, you know, who the actor is.
Oh, my mom, I didn't see that movie until like... I was like 45. My mother somehow saw that movie when it came out. Like, you know, she went with her girlfriends to the theater to see it or something. Like, I don't know why. It wasn't her kind of thing. But she's like, I saw this movie and there's this boy in it who looks and sounds and acts just like you, Michael. And like, I had no idea. And I see it like 40 years later and she's talking about the stoner long-haired blonde surfer.
Spicoli.
Yeah. My mom, like, I didn't know until my mom was dead that she thought I was Spicoli as a teenager.
Wow.
Thanks, Mom. Yeah. All right.
That's funny.
So I'll be back in the third segment to curse Wyoming for its marijuana prohibitions.
Awesome.
Have a good show, you guys.
Worms.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to the Freedom Fiends. On the radio, Worms.
I won't say we're front again. I just can't resist it.
Yeah. So during the break, we were talking about that article and meme that you found, Lisa, right? Gotta talk about guns. Guns, man, guns. Gotta talk about guns.
Yeah, guns, dude. So there's a hashtag that's trending. It's actually been trending for a long time, and it's kind of popular again now because of the shooting, you know, a couple of days ago. And it's the hashtag is CCW247. And the meme that goes with it, or the photo that goes with it, says, I carry a concealed firearm. I take my firearm into gun-free zones for your protection. It's called civil disobedience. I won't be a victim and I won't let you be one either. Take the pledge, use the hashtag CCW247. You know, I like the idea of this. You know, it obviously, you know, when minutes, you've got minutes to resolve, or seconds to get away from a bad guy. The police will be there, and you're like, what, a half hour if they come at all? So I think at this point we all need to start thinking about this. Like, what are we going to do to keep ourselves and each other safe? Really can't rely on anybody else to do it. It's about personal responsibility, I think.
Yeah.
What say you?
Well, I agree, of course. I like that the meme that was information was a part of. The only problem I have is with the term civil disobedience. I'm not a big fan of that.
Mm-hmm.
I see a distinction between civil disobedience and straight up non-compliance, and I prefer the latter. Because civil disobedience means that you are accepting, you are standing up against a law that you find to be unjust, but you're willing to go to it because you understand that it is still the law currently. Your goal is to change the law, but you're willing to accept the consequences. I'm not willing to accept the consequences of my actions because I don't think I'm doing anything wrong. So when I do certain things, I'm just straight up not complying.
That's a good point. I like that view. That's a really because good disobedience implies that you know you're not obeying.
Well, yeah, it's something I believe I originally got that listening to Ben Stone's series on Beyond Civil Disobedience, which is one of my favorite. I listen to that whole series, was like 5 or 6 parts. I listen to that every couple of months just because it hits me some way so hard. And it's kind of a lot of the reason why I decided to start up that, you know, Operation Tubman Redux I was trying to do earlier this year. Trying to get people away from the state and protect them from stuff like that, because it's like I said, I'm not defying their laws trying to get them changed. I'm defying them because they're immoral and I just don't think they should be respected.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But otherwise, I love the concept of the meme. I love the idea that people are out there thinking this, because they're absolutely right. You know, like I said, other than that technicality for me, I think everybody should. If you feel you're competent to handle a firearm and be that person in that situation that would shoot back, then by all means, go for it.
Yeah, totally with you. Nick, what do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. I've had the opportunity to get to show some people that, like my sister, and I'm not allowed to say who else was there for certain reasons, but it was really fun getting to go. we got to go shooting, and that was really fun. I got to teach a couple people, or get to help teach a couple people some of the beauty and the safety of guns.
It was really nice. Neat.
It was really fun. And then today, I missed out on the opportunity for thanking somebody for open carrying, but I was at a little store here in Kings Valley, Oregon, and I was just sitting there eating my ice cream because it was just too. And then this guy pulls up, and as he's leaving, I saw he had a pistol, and I was like, oh, I wanted to stop him and say, hey, thank you for your service, because I think it's great when people take that kind of responsibility into their hands. And I really like the idea that people are not complying with gun-free zones. Of course, if it's private property, I'll let you have whatever rules you want, but I think it's really important that people are able to protect themselves and others. So, yeah, I totally agree. Let's not comply with gun-free zones.
Yeah.
Well, you're right. Private property is a different story, but almost all of the ones that happen, you know, all the mass shootings that occur are in gun-free zones that are almost always public spaces. You know, aside from the movie theater, I think the one in Aurora was technically a private institution because it was a movie theater. But all the other ones, that always happens at like schools and stuff. So,
yeah, it's true. Well, I have some thoughts on that when we come back.
Moms.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
the break. You said you still had some more thoughts on this.
Yeah, well, a friend of mine sent me a link to an article today, and it is from a website called Advanced Active Response Training, and the tagline on the website is providing reality-based solutions to resist criminal violence. The article is called Deep Concealment Options for the Non-Permissive Environment, and what the article is about is in states where you're allowed to conceal carry, you know, and when I say allowed, I mean you're not going to get thrown in a cage if you get caught. In those states, businesses like movie theaters, concert venues, restaurants, bars, etc., may say, you know, you cannot bring a weapon in here. You can't bring a weapon at all. No guns allowed, no knives, whatever. But if your state law permits carrying, then you still can, apparently. Now, I can't speak to the legality of this, and different states, you know, there may be different rules, but what this fella is saying is that if you can manage to conceal and bring a weapon into one of those venues that has a sign that says no weapons allowed, the worst that's going to happen is you're going to be asked to leave if you get caught. They can't, you won't have any criminal charges placed against you if you get caught. You know, they'll just say you need to get out. It's a civil matter and not a criminal matter. So I thought this is interesting. He goes into how you can conceal and get through a pat down, things like that. Now, obviously, you don't want the wrong people, you know, knowing these tricks, although they probably already do, you know, going by what happened a couple of days ago in Florida. But I thought this was an interesting idea. You know, at this point, like we were saying, we need to be able to protect ourselves and each other. We really can't count on anybody else doing it for us, because you just never know when something's going to happen.
Yeah. See, because we were talking before the break about, you know, the fact that in public spaces, those laws are ridiculous because, well, you know, it's not everybody's property. But private property is different. So I'm actually kind of a little conflicted on this, because while I do not only, you know, want to be able to protect myself whenever I can, you know, whenever possible, and I want other people to be able to do the same, I do also have that pet peeve of mine where I kind of do try to respect private property.
I get it too.
I tend to lean more in the direction of, if that's, I mean, I don't have to worry about that here, because, I mean, you're lucky if you can have a legal gun at all here in New Yorkistan. But
same with Maryland.
Yeah, exactly. So, but for any place that's not like that, even if I was there, I know when I am, you know, in the times when I have carried in the past, when I've been allowed to in different places, then I would just not frequent those places if I could avoid it at all. You know, if there was an opportunity to go somewhere else, then I would just avoid that place instead, because of my feelings on private property. I was just like, okay, that's your decision, that's fine, and I will take my business elsewhere. And, you know,
I've stopped going to places when I lived in Virginia that said, you know, no firearms allowed. I thought, well, you're just pretty much saying, hey, we're a target, come in here, come rob us, no one here is going to try to stop you. So there were a few that I stopped going to for that reason. Not it was on principle for me, but also it was kind of not fear, but thinking like, well, okay, why would I want to go somewhere where they're advertising like, hey, you know, bad guys, come in here, we're sitting ducks.
Yeah, well, it's not necessarily fear. That's just a safety issue. Mm-hmm. You know, cost benefit analysis. You're deciding what risks you're willing to put up with for your own protection. So I wouldn't classify that as fear necessarily.
Yeah, death or Starbucks coffee. Starbucks coffee, or you get to live. I'm gonna choose without the.
I'm
going to skip the latte that day, all right?
My coffee's better than Starbucks anyway. Ha.
darn Skippy, yeah. I can't get bulletproof coffee at Starbucks. What the heck? They don't serve that.
Yeah, thing. What? You can't get the... Why don't they make that kind of stuff anyway? They should be doing the coconut oil and butter thing. It would be expensive, though, I'm sure. Because their regular coffee is expensive. But if they made you that concoction, it would probably be $10 for a... What are their sizes again? I don't go there.
Oh,
grande or
small, medium, and large. I don't care what they call them, and it annoys so many of the baristas when you refer to it as that. It's like, no. What was that? Was that a skit in a movie or something? I can't remember. Where they had that.
Probably
the guy freaks out because he can't. I'm picturing Paul Rudd, but I can't remember now. But freaking out because of the stupid Venti Grande, whatever.
I feel like that's a Louis C.K. bit.
But it might be sure. Too.
Oh, maybe. You know what? I think that he has talked about it before.
It's quite Louis possible. C.K. I'm a fan of his, but I don't really like. I'm not a huge. Like, I don't follow a lot of his stuff, so I probably missed a lot of things.
Yeah, I don't have no idea.
Should I ever have to go there? I'm gonna say large. It does sound like it. No, I think he did say it. Or he was one of the people who said it.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, it was, yeah, I'm picturing the scene in my head, but it definitely was. But the whole point is all three of those things mean large, just in different languages.
Oh, my gosh. It didn't even occur to me. That's funny.
It's something like I said, it's something really along those lines, like that grande and vente and whatever the other one is. It's like they all basically mean large. It's ridiculous.
Wait a minute. Isn't the small one just called tall? What's up with that?
Oh, tall. Yeah, that's what it's tall.
You couldn't
tall,
just call grande, it petite?
Well, no, exactly. So they're all basically called some variation of a large thing. It's no, that's not a size differential.
See, now I want to go there and kind of mess with them.
That's just being pretentious and snooty.
Yeah, it is. And it's really not that good, but...
Yeah, I was never a big fan of Starbucks coffee. I always preferred Dunkin' Donuts or even 7-Eleven, although I was kind of indoctrinated into that for work after working there for 2 years and drinking it every day.
Do you guys have Wawa's where you live?
No.
What? Not where I do now, but I did in PA where I grew up and in Jersey where I used to travel a lot when I was younger. So I've been to Wawa's. I just don't have them here in New York. We have 7-Eleven.
Wawa coffee.
I don't know
so
what
good.
That is.
It's another convenience store.
Yeah, but it's big and they have lots of good stuff. They even have a lot of like healthy snacks in there and you can get sandwiches. They have like a deli where they'll make stuff for you and they have really good breakfast sandwiches in the morning and their coffee is so good. They have, you know, just all kinds of regular coffee. You can make yourself with flavored creamers and then they have those fancy drinks you can order and I don't know. It's cheap and it's so good. It's so much better than any of the snooty places in my opinion.
Yeah, I haven't been to a Wawa in forever, but I do remember the little deli section now. So yeah, that top 7-Eleven because 7-Eleven still doesn't have that. But you know,
yeah.
Hey, I grew up without these things. I grew up in the woods where we didn't have 24/7 stuff, and after moving, I'm sure you don't have all that out there where you are,
nope.
Nick. Do you? Exactly.
Nope.
That was the one thing I decided.
Country store. But
oh well, that's like the town I grew up in.
It's pretty similar. I mean, it's not as nice as 7-Eleven. I guess I don't know. I like it better just because I know the people there.
Oh sure, it's just not open all the time, right?
That's right. The problem. Yeah, it's closed at 9, which sucks.
It's like 9 to 6 instead of 7-Eleven. Yep. 9
yeah.
6.
Yeah. Well, that's like the town I grew up in had like I think less than 200 people, and the main attractions were the fire station. And the general store, which was a little convenience store. But again, I just like you, I preferred that one so much better because I knew the people that owned it. They were, you know, it was a family-run business, and they had a nice deli section, and you know they'd make you whatever you wanted when you went in there. It was great. But the one after living in New York, now gosh, I've been here what? Oh god, it's been 22 years since I've been back. Oh god, that's so sad. in the 22 years that I have now been back in New Yorkistan, I have said repeatedly that I would be more than happy to move back to the woods, even more remote than where I was to begin with, as long as there was a 7-Eleven within walking distance. which for me, 2 miles is what I consider walking distance. I'm willing to hike 2 miles to a 7-Eleven if I have to. So you give me one of those, I'll go back in the woods again. I'll be perfectly fine.
I picture you being spoiled. This mountain man. There's like the 7-Eleven just sitting there on the bottom of the mountain.
I've been spoiled enough by living this, you know, like I said, I grew up out in the sticks, but I got spoiled by civilization.
I don't have a 7-Eleven in my little town. There's not one, which is kind of unbelievable, but there are two other little stores, but they're not the same, and the Wawa is like 20 minutes away. That's hardship, man.
First world problems.
Yeah. Poor me.
Yeah. What would we do without all these conveniences? That darn capitalism making our life easier.
Speaking of capitalism, I heard something really cool today. JetBlue Airline is giving free flights to families of the victims affected by the Orlando shooting. Those dirty capitalists giving away free flights.
Wow.
Yeah, thought that was really neat. Very nice. Well,
that's nice.
Yeah,
that's cool. I like to hear that. JetBlue is the only airline I ever fly, which I rarely fly. I try to drive anywhere I have to go at all costs.
Then you don't get the TSA, like the little, you know.
That's why I choose to drive anywhere pretty much at all costs, because I want to avoid the TSA like the plague. So
you don't like getting groped and probed for free?
Not by those individuals, you know, in a separate setting. That's a completely different story. I don't know, I think we should really go there on the air right now. But when I do fly, which, like I said, is rare, but when I do, I think I've pretty much only ever flown JetBlue. Maybe once, you know, when I was younger before JetBlue came around. But other than that, I always fly JetBlue. So that's good for them, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... I just realized that Lisa dropped it. I'm just trying to jump in. I'm not very excited to go through TSA this Friday. It's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be in the middle of the night, so I'm gonna be tired and a little bit grumpy. And I know I'm not gonna try to not comply. I'm gonna comply because I'm afraid that I'm not gonna get on my plane in time.
Yeah.
But I would love to. Like, I heard that. I don't remember who it was, but the last time on the way to Porkfest, they told some great story. I think it was Dobby Barker. He got stopped by TSA because they saw the Bitcoin symbol somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was just crazy. They stopped him because of the Bitcoin symbol.
Terrorist.
Yeah. He's using cryptocurrencies. Currencies that aren't produced by the government.
Yeah, right? We have a dissenter here. This is not good. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's unfortunate because it's I don't know, for me, you know, going back to what we were talking about earlier about non-compliance and stuff, it's always nice for me to get those opportunities, but that's kind of where they pin you down, man.
Mm-hmm.
They stick in those situations where it's like, oh, do I do it and then risk it all, or, you know, and they know they have you that way.
Fiend phone.
Perfect.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd. Available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and FreedomFiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms.
Is the Freedom Fiends. I'm here with Jeremy and Lisa, and I can't remember exactly what we were talking about last time, but I think Lisa has an article that she
Fiend phone.
If only she'd stick around to tell
this
us about
is
it.
Phone unnecessary random re-education interruption service exigency service or furries. I like that. Lisa says, yay, when I come on unexpectedly, and her boyfriend, Lou, says, ugh, here we go. Nice. I like you better than him because of that.
Oh, okay. I won't tell him he said that.
He'll hear it.
Yeah, I will.
So you're friends with a murderer, and you're upset about it, huh, Lisa?
Well, it's not really, I mean... You know,
first of all, I have to interrupt myself because I'm interrupting. I got to say, I can hear. It's so weird, man. I've been walking around the house. I hear one of you moving. I can hear like you rubbing your shirt or something. I have my hearing back. It's great, which means I can hear like the low sound that, you know, I hear in an empty room that Steve Miller thinks is like my brain or something. And, you know, I posted on Facebook recently that I'm such an audio Nazi. I really want that like soundproof torture room that they had at the audiologist day. But my last words, Michael W. Dean's last words are going to be, this life support machine has an unwanted audio hum. If you can't get rid of that hum, turn this damn thing off.
First, try some towels.
Yeah, let's try a few things first. All right, put some towels on. I'll be like, yeah, like directing the nurses. All right, yeah, it didn't work. Just unplug the thing. All right, so you're friends with a murderer, huh, Lisa?
Well, maybe. It's so weird because I work for a site that writes about news and I do their social media and all that. So I'm always reading news and looking at all these news sites and like on Twitter. And so this article popped up on Twitter about something. I don't remember what it was about. So I clicked on that and I'm on this website and I see this picture of this guy and I'm like, that guy looked for a different article. I'm like, that guy looks familiar. I know that guy from somewhere. And I'm like, who is that? I'm like, wait a minute, we're Facebook friends, I think. So I clicked on the article, and sure enough, I'm like, whoa, man. Like, this guy, I am friends with him, but I don't really know him. I don't know him in real life, but we've been Facebook friends for a long time.
Have you talked to him on Facebeef?
He has sent me messages, but it's been a very long time, and he always seemed nice, kind of odd, but nice, you know, like friendly, and I never noticed anything really alarming about him. But I have a friend who...
Oh,
you want me to tell?
Yeah, tell his name and tell what he did, and then tell me about your friend.
It's Eric Schutz is his name, and he admits, even on his Facebook page, that he did shoot three people and killed them.
Oh, and he said it was self-defense, and he said a cop told him it was self-defense. Now, but it wasn't, because he, like, lied in wait behind his wood pile and used it as, you know, like, basically snipered his three neighbors.
Yeah.
Who were meth heads, and, you know... I've had meth heads as neighbors. I've had ketamine addicts as a neighbor. That was worse, but they were ravers. But yeah, I had had meth heads as a neighbors, and you know, some people just need killing. And I'm not. That's. I think I'm quoting John Wayne in that, and I'm kidding. But yeah, meth heads make you want to kill them. They make you crazy. Like meth is so toxic to the nervous system. I still think it should be available in vending machines, but. In Libpear, where that would happen, land would also be cheaper, and you could just move if you had neighbors like that. Or there'd probably be a town like Nixtown, full of Philo Meth, Oregon, would just turn into Full of Meth, Oregon. And people say, if you want to use meth, move to Full of Meth or Methton. Every town would have a neighborhood called Methton, like where Steve Miller lives. He lives in Crackton, though. But yeah, but this guy. So, did the policeman tell him before or after he shot the people lying in wait and said it was self-defense? Did the cop tell him, like, yeah, you can shoot him in self-defense, or did it happen? Did the cop say that after?
My impression is that it was after that he talked to a cop.
But we don't know that.
Right, I don't know for sure.
It might have been like he talked to a buddy who was a cop. Now, cops are some of the stupidest people I've ever met, especially when it comes to the law. I actually interviewed a cop in Wyoming once who told me that marijuana should be illegal because it's in the Constitution. We're going to talk about that in the next segment. But the guy that trained me for firearms in California, who trained cops also, told me if I ever shoot anybody on my property outside to drag him into the house. That's ridiculous.
Whoa.
And like any cop would see the trail of blood and say like, oh, you hid evidence. All right. Off of your head. Seize it, gods, seize him. I knew a murderer. I was friends with a murderer who did time. Who's on America's Most Wanted, man? Sammy Town from the band Fang. We were label mates on Boner Records, my band Bomb. There you go, bingo card. Sammy's a good guy. I knew him before and after.
No, prison. I still need one
more.
He
killed his girlfriend for stealing his drugs. Like, she stole like $2,000 worth of LSD. He just had to kill her. Some people just need killing, I guess, is what he said.
Hey there, this is Nick Hazelton, the anarcho-yakitalist. I've been rising to power in the Liberty Movement since I was 14 years old, when I first found the Freedom Fiends on my TuneIn app. I quickly became a fan, and a little over a year later, I called into Michael Dean After Dark on my crappy home phone. Michael quickly realized my brilliance, but was disappointed by my audio quality. So he picked me up as a mentee, gave me a microphone, helped me start my own podcast, and threw me on the radio show. Now I'm 17. I'm assembling a Yak army, building a cult following of Yakateers, and we're planning our march to Fiendfest Somalia to take over the geographic region between the Connecticut River and the Salmon Falls River to make it a libertarian paradise free of faceless boards of authority. Free Freedom Fiends buttons will be given to anybody who swears allegiance to the dear sweet Yak Emperor and aids our cause. This wouldn't be possible without the help of Nima Vidotti and especially Michael Dean. The Freedom Fiends have made me as dear and sweet as I am today. Worms.
Radio, it's magical. We love it. Freedom Fiends.
Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LivePair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Please insert the drill into your brain. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
I'm Michael Dean, and I had a myringotomy today. That's the name of that term. I said I couldn't pronounce it, but then I looked at it. I'm like, that is so simple, it looks made up. Like, I'm having a ringing in my ear. I need a myringotomy.
I know. It sounds like an SNL skit or something, or something like a compliance in ad.
Mm-hmm. Compliance.
Yeah. Compliance in it. Is your child defiant? Drill a hole in his head. Worked for Michael Dean. He's all mellow now.
I'm pretty sure that does not fall under peaceful parenting.
You know, I forgot. I had adjusted my computer's audio balance and my phone's audio balance for using earphones to be like 70% in my left ear and 30% in my right ear to compensate. And I was just, I forgot about it. And now that I can hear, I was like listening to you guys on my, when I wasn't on, I was, you know, I spy on this show all the time. Even if I'm not on, I'm listening like
yes, an owl, know, Mr. Central, a vulture, scrutinizer.
The raven, the crow. Perched in the corner, listening.
Have you ever noticed that there's no conversations about you for the most part? You're not.
That's how I make sure that there aren't any. Yeah, but I was like, man, it's really loud in this one speaker, and then I realized I had to like set it back to balance to the middle. So we were talking about booby trapping statists before the break. We want to finish this up real quick. So show me on the doll where the cop touched you, Lisa.
Well, my house got broken into a few years ago, and the police came, of course, to take a report and did absolutely
never called the police
to help me out. Right. I know. This is before I really knew any better. This is like,
well,
six years
if you
ago.
Have insurance, but you can actually make a report without having them come to your house. Usually you can go in the next day and make a report for insurance.
Yeah, I didn't know that at the time, and it was a couple of days after Christmas, and it really scared me. I was house sitting for someone else, and I stopped by my place to grab a few things, and the place was trashed, and a lot of my stuff was gone. My new TV was gone, and my gun was gone, and so I thought, okay, this is not good. But when the police came, they showed me around the perimeter of the house and things that I could improve, you know, to keep the less likely, supposedly, to, you know, be tempting for would-be burglars and or people to break in. Because they said I had too much shrubbery in the backyard and, like, the back door was too hidden.
Shrubbery?
Anyway, yeah, shrubbery. You caught that. Yeah, so one of the police officers told me to set up booby traps inside of the house or, like, right outside of the windows. So he said get strips of wood and put nails in them, so if someone tries to, you know, climb in a window, they're gonna get stuck with a nail. And I thought, that doesn't sound right. And then I talked to somebody.
Set up punji sticks like the Viet Cong.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised he did that because, it just goes to prove that cops are really stupid and want to trick people and hurt people and don't care. Although, you know, I'm fine with shooting anybody that breaks into your house. I just think a booby trap is a bad idea. And booby traps are pretty much universally illegal. And here's why. Cops and firemen get injured all the time by booby traps.
Yeah, see? And I was shocked that he told me that, and I thought, that doesn't seem right, but you know, I was upset from the break-in. I was just kind of trying to figure out where I was going to stay because I never wanted to stay in that house again because I was completely freaked out. And then I talked to somebody, you know, the next day, and he said, wait a minute, what? That cop told you to do that? That's crazy. He's like, that's illegal, and you could get in trouble. And he said the same thing. What if you know, your house catches on fire?
If your meth lab blows up.
And, you know, yeah. It's like, right? Yeah.
It's like Biden and his advice to just shoot a shotgun in the air. It's like, yeah. Yo, do you know the laws in the state that you're talking about, you nitwit?
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I want to segue into Wyoming, which is where I live. So a good segue would be to repeat that a cop I interviewed here once, I used to be involved in politics here like 7 years ago when I first moved here. I was the Wyoming chair for the Republican Liberty Caucus, which are basically libertarians who try to force the Republican Party to be libertarian. And I don't know why they still exist after the Republican Party shut out Ron Paul. I mean, they should have just packed it in. But, you know, even if you're going to be involved in politics, like the GOP doesn't want you. They changed their rules to keep anyone from Ron Paul from ever getting getting a chance. But so I was interviewing people who were running in Wyoming to see if the Republican RLC should back them. And I interviewed a cop that was running for state rep, and he told me that I asked him what he thought about marijuana legal decriminalization. He said, "Oh, it's got to be illegal." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Because it's in the Constitution." And I said, "There." And he said, let me get back to you. And he literally said, I gotta go. And he hung up on me. And he never got back to me. But so Wyoming is currently having a really bad recession. This state, like a year ago, this state was the only state in America whose state budget was in the black. Like every other state was in debt. Wyoming, up until about a year and 3 months ago, was in the black, like had a surplus. And then the price of oil tanked, and this whole state's economy is, you know, a large part of it is oil, you know, drilling for oil, like moving oil, testing ground, geologists, like everybody here. Like there are literally any night, there are three trucks parked on my block that say Halliburton on the side of them. Which, you know, in San Francisco, they'd all get keyed. Here, they're like, thank you for your service when they see those people. Because it just drove the economy, you know, there's no state income tax here. Property taxes are really low. This town has a municipal golf course and a municipal shooting range. Like, try that in New York State or Maryland, you know?
Nope. If only.
And so it's tanked, and like all the politicians are panicking, and every headline in the local papers now is like, what can we do? Like they're talking about adding a state sales tax or state income tax. They're talking about raising property taxes. They're talking about this and that. I have a solution. Let me put on my minarchist hat. Legalize marijuana and tax it. Now I know that sounds ridiculous to my anarchist friends, like all you all and me when I don't have my minarchist hat on, but I would rather see that happen than, you know, this state to continue to go into the red and raise my taxes to pay for police, to bust people for felonies for an ounce of pot. And that's true. That happens here. So please discuss. Colorado, just to the south, the state to the south here, is booming. Like they're you know, getting a lot of money. So what do you guys think?
I heard something about Colorado giving people some money back because they had too much tax revenue because of it. But that was a while ago, and I don't remember the details. But yeah, I mean, I could see an argument for that. I think it's terrible that people get locked up for, you know, doing what they want with their body, for using a plant. And in fact, today I wrote an article about juicing cannabis. So people, you know, and the thing with that is you need to use fresh cannabis for that. You need to be able to really grow your own or have access to it. So yeah, anyway, back to the taxation thing.
That has nothing to do with the discussion.
I know, I got a little tangent there. Yeah. So, but yeah, I know, I agree.
So basically, you know, a lot of people listening to this in Wyoming, and we're on two stations here, one in Casper and one in Sundance, which basically means half of the state, you know, hears us. So, Wyoming, I'm talking to you. You all are square. You are shooting yourself in the foot by outlawing something that doesn't hurt anybody. And all your excuses to keep it illegal are just old people talking stuff like it's kind of like how trepanation, you know, drilling holes into people's heads to let out the evil spirits in 1600 was an acceptable medical procedure, and now it's insane. Although the thing I had done today was also discovered in the, you know, the hole put in my eardrum that made me able to hear was actually also done in the 1600s by accident when a doctor was cleaning out an ear and punctured someone's eardrum, and suddenly the guy could hear better. So, you know, some things stand the test of time, some don't. Outlawing a plant is not going to stand the test of time. This state is going to continue. And here's the other thing. All of the Republicans in this state that say, I don't want to pay for no welfare, and I don't want to pay for it either. You shouldn't pay for people's, you know, welfare. But those same people love to throw people in prison where they have to pay their food, clothing, medical, housing, everything, way more than it costs to keep someone on welfare. So y'all are hypocrites. You're not keeping anyone safe. Pot doesn't hurt anyone. It helps people. And, I know there's people in Wyoming hearing this and thinking, but that goes too far. Now I'm going to turn it over to my friend Jeremy, who thinks that, like, what I'm saying is a half measure. You know, in the same way that, like, you know, we think, you know, like, liberals think the NRA are extremists, and us on this show all think the NRA, like, you know, don't go far enough in legalizing guns. They should be completely legal, unregistered, you know, no laws. So we feel the same way about drugs. And Jeremy, tell me why I'm sounding like a half measure state kissing statist by saying we should completely legalize marijuana in the state of Wyoming and tax it.
See, I was going to go about this nicely and ask you questions, but if you're going to if you're going to set me up like that,
I know you are. You know,
in the again, this is one of those in the current paradigm. What do? I get that. My questions to you would be, first of all, how many people are currently getting locked up in Wyoming for this per year? Because I know that Wyoming is what? It's the lowest populated state, right?
Does it matter?
Right?
More than zero. What,
no, that's not the point. Because what you're talking about, in theory, sounds good because of what's happening in Colorado. But if you're talking about a population that's much less, and there's not as much, there wasn't as many issues with it to be, I mean, there's issues, but there wasn't as many to begin with. What kind of tax revenue are you actually going to be getting from that, that it's actually going to do anything for?
Tourism, man. Unless, one word for you, tourism.
Well, no, it's not going to be tourism, because just like everywhere else, you, for the most part, a lot of people are going to end up having to move there, and then you're going to get an influx of people who you may dig, but the rest of the people around there may not, or you may not. You probably won't either. And are you really willing to put up with that?
Well, that's why Wyoming needs to take a stance, legalize pot, and not do anything to your firearms rights.
That would be a definite too.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Do you want to make money working at home? Join the high-stakes world of selling BIPCOT No Gov merchandise. The BIPCOT No Government license is licensed under the BIPCOT No Government license, which means that you can go to BIPCOT.org, download the high-res logos, and make your own BIPCOT No Government merchandise to sell. The best part is you keep all the profits. And if you send a picture and mail a sample to the good people at BIPCOT.org, they might even help you promote it for free.
As long as you're not a government or a government agent and you don't advocate for any governments in any way.
Help promote liberty, make money, have fun, meet interesting people, be the envy of all your friends, be the coolest kid at Fiendfest Somalia, laugh at the state while it collapses, all while making and selling your own BIPCOT.org merchandise. What will you design? Get creative. Lots of folks are doing it, but there's always room for more. There are BIPCOT t-shirts, flags, drink cozies, turntable mats, BIPstrong bracelets, BIPCOT stickers, playing cards, and even Glock pistol backplates. You might even get mentioned on the Freedom Fiends. You're still kicking yourself for missing out on the start of Bitcoin. Don't miss out on BIPCOT. Get in on the ground floor now.
Not a guarantee.
Start your new life today at BIPCOT.org. That's BIPCOT.org.
set a precedent in not only legalizing the tax, but also not giving your firearms legal rights if you're smoking pot. Because that's where you get these people coming in, moving into a state that has it that you don't want. Like Colorado, the politicians who basically pushed legalizing pot there are also the same politicians that later got recalled and removed by a vote for changing the gun laws there. But the gun laws are still changed there. Like, you can't have, you know, a mag with than, was it 10, 15, something like that. I don't know. But so, and the governor of Wyoming is a big promoter of, like, he didn't want to remove civil asset forfeiture. He hates freedom. He's a former federal attorney. He's a drug warrior. He got elected on a single issue saying, I'll fight for your gun rights. But it actually turns out he's kind of being a gun grabber too. He's also like buddy-buddy with the governor of Colorado. Like, they go shooting together, but the Colorado governor is a big gun grabber. So, yeah, man, you silly people electing these people that promise you one thing. No politician is ever going to do what they say. They all lie, every one of them. So basically, you need to push your politicians. No, just like my consensus, just get marijuana legalized here. You know, you should, because it doesn't make economic sense. And you're not a good fiscal conservative if you're throwing people in prison and paying for their incarceration and paying for more cops and paying to have, like, literally more cops on the border of Colorado and Wyoming trying to stop something from getting in that's going to be legal here as soon as Hillary becomes president. And she's going to become president, and she's a liar, a socialist, and her pantsuit stinks and we hate her, but she's going to become president. Because Republicans suck. And the way Republicans suck is they've become really, 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 really stupid, and they hate freedom. You know, they're like, oh, we got to keep drugs illegal because reasons. And, you know, oh, we got to keep the gays from getting some paper down from the, you know, like, come on, man. Government paper. I mean, that's like getting a license for my cat. That's like saying gays can't get a marriage license. It would be ridiculous as saying, like, well, my cat's black and we don't like black cats, so black cats can't get, you know, a cat license. It's ridiculous, Republicans. You blew it, and you put Hillary in office, and if you didn't, you put Trump in office. And I actually wish, I hope Hillary gets in instead of Trump. Here's why. I hate them both. They're both enemies of freedom. But if Hillary gets elected, the Republicans will hate her so much, they will block her at every turn, even more than they've blocked Obama. Whereas Trump is basically a Democrat in Republicans' clothing, and the Republicans will love him and just do whatever he says, and they'll just throw open their legs and pollute their britches with Trumpness if he's elected. And close your eyes and think of Washington, D.C. All right, so what were you going to say? What's the difference between legalization and decriminalization, Jeremy?
Oh, I started to say that earlier.
But I cut you off.
Yes, yes, you did.
Go on.
I'm used to that by now.
It's my property.
Because I'm personally for decriminalization over legalization, and decriminalization is simply the laws are stricken. The law in general is stricken from the books. There's no laws whatsoever for or against it, or whatever. It's no longer something that the government can actually.
I was gonna say, like, for tomatoes, but these days there's like laws about everything, you know.
Oh no, there still is, because a lot of places that claim to do decriminalization only decriminalize it up to a certain point. Like, they'll decriminalize
Colorado
anything.
Basically decriminalized, you know, legalized it to a point, but then also, like, immediately in Denver they passed a bunch of nanny laws. Like, if you smell marijuana smoke in your yard from your neighbors, you can have them fined.
Oh gosh!
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's decriminalized in Maryland up to a certain amount. It's a fairly small amount, but if you have paraphernalia on you, that's still, I believe, it's a felony. Yeah. It's still a major charge. Yeah, it's whatever. Silly.
Yeah, that's how they end up getting you in those situations.
That's like saying you could carry your AK-47 on your passenger seat when you're driving, like I do, but you know, with a fully loaded 30 round mag, because you never know. But you know, you can't have a gun case because reasons, because that's a felony.
Yeah, it's silly. You know? I feel like they did that on purpose.
All they do is, like, they're like leeches, you know? That was another medical procedure way later than 1600s, too, like 1800s. You know, they put leeches on people to suck.
They still do that. Still,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say, even they're still do it in some instances.
Obamacare? But
it was,
they do it, I think, for people like hemophiliacs. I think people with bleeding problems and other stuff.
I think it's actually, and used to remove, like, leprosy, I think it's used for. Mm. To remove, like, rotting flesh or something. Anyway.
Yum.
Politicians are dumb. Wow. Politicians make your flesh rot, then remove it. The best thing I've heard about politicians, this really sums it up, is, like, you know, government will break your leg and then hand you a crutch and talk about how you wouldn't be able to walk without them because you have a crutch.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
I lost where we were.
I was going to ask you. It's like the blind leading the blind around here. Yeah. What were we talking about? I don't know.
Guns and weed. Well, no, I think we were talking
about that.
Yeah, that's
right. About that, but I think, to reiterate my point, I think it's, and I know where Michael actually wanted to lead this before he went into the break, now that I'm thinking about it. While I prefer decriminalization, and I know a lot of places where it's used now, it's not full decriminalization, which is why people still say, well, people still go to jail. Well, yeah, if it was fully decriminalized, then it wouldn't be an issue anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But if the option is leave it illegal or legalize it, I'm not going to be in favor of stopping the legalization. You know, I've actually gotten that accusation thrown to me before that people think that's what I mean. It's like, no, I'm not going to stop other people from voting for it. You know, I'm not going to personally vote for it because I don't engage in the system at all like that. But if that's what they're going to do, then I'm, more than fine with that. Even if New York fully legalized it, because now they've now quote unquote legalized medical marijuana finally. But if they did it with cannabis as the whole, I'd still probably buy from the people I currently buy from.
I was going to say that too, because, I think that most states that do, completely legalize it are seeing cha-ching, we're going to make all this tax money, we're going to tax the heck out of this. And I would want to do the same thing. I'd want to just grow my own or get it from someone, outside of that system. I don't think I'd be going to a dispensary to buy it, but who knows? I guess it depends.
Yeah, so being from a state that is legalized marijuana, I don't know this from experience, but I do know people who partake. And
a friend.
I have a few friends.
Wink, wink. And,
so some of my adult friends, they've gone to...
So much we have to do at Porkfest, Nick, so much.
Oh, my.
Don't say that. My parents...
I do. No,
but so... They know you're joking, but they what they've said is, I've listened to them talk about why they like dispensaries and why they don't, and most of the people go to their old dealers, and even some people have started growing on their own, though a lot of people out here that I know have been growing for a while. Some of them like the dispensary. If they have medical marijuana, if they had their green card, they usually like the dispensaries, and maybe that's just because they've been able to go to dispensaries for a while. But I found that a lot of people don't like it because of the prices. The prices are very high, but at the same time, they have nice customer service, and so there are some pluses. And in Oregon, people seem to be kind of snobby about everything. which is great if you are in the service industry and you take care of that. But yeah, that's what I found. Not what I found, but what I found that other people have found.
What your friend found, we got it.
So people do like, the dispensaries get enough income. I mean, they pop up everywhere. There's like four in every town. There's not in any in Full of Meth, but there are some in Corvallis. Full of
Meth. Well, that, I mean that makes sense because, yeah, I'm not saying there's no positive aspects to it because, sure, and besides the customer service, there's also the variety because they can carry all the different strains where normally your local guy will only have a couple if you're lucky. So that's, I'm not denying that. I don't want to have to pay tax on something, you know, because, like, to me, that's just ridiculous. Like, sin taxes is what they are, and those are just ridiculous, you know, punishing people for what they, you know, like, I forget exactly how Spooner put it, but, you know, punishing people for vices is just insane, what they call vices, which, you know, isn't even, because, you know, it's, for me, I don't see it as a vice, you know. I've been a regular cannabis smoker for the last 17, 18 years, and, you know, it really hasn't affected my life much, except when I let it. But ever since I became a business owner and then a father, I have not allowed it to affect my life in any capacity. And I'm still a perfectly functioning individual. So, you know, I don't see it as a vice in any way.
Do you know, the history, you know, about why it became illegal?
Cannabis?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's people like William, what's his name? William Randolph Hearst, right? Paper magnate at the time, and they wanted hemp illegalized first, and then they just decided to make it all. But it was people like him who pushed to do it.
Yeah, and Harry Jacob Anslinger, he was the first official of the DEA. He kind of went after it. But gosh, it'd be nice if we could just turn back time and erase all of that and have the government never have a stance on it at all, obviously, because then we wouldn't have to worry about legalization and taxing it and decriminalization and the huge mess that we have now with this. Because before that, no one was paying attention to it, but then after alcohol prohibition went away, they were looking for the next thing, you know, to get people for the next sin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and they totally sold it, you know, dishonestly, of course. I mean, what were the ridiculous claims that were actually in newspapers? Stuff like, I think it gets told incorrectly often, but I think the actual story was that they made it seem like it made white women want to hook up with black and Latino men.
They did say that. There were really derogatory, nasty things.
Yeah,
that
it was insane. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they had to demonize it. But that's why what's his name? William Randolph Hearst was a big part of it. Because, like I said, he was the big paper magnate at the time. And, like, actual like paper stock, as well as newspapers. Like, he actually controlled the actual paper stock. And people like him were freaked out by hemp because hemp is stronger, cheaper to grow. I think there's the turnover rate on it is even quicker too, you know, obviously, versus having to grow trees, you know, versus hemp plants. And you can it was set to destroy the paper industry, and they needed to put a stop to it. So
growing
capitalism, fascism, actually, you know, when people want to talk about how, you know, conservatives always like to call people like Obama, like they like to throw people like to throw around the term fascist like it's a new thing or something. It's like, no, this has been the way it's been for a very long time.
yeah apparently Nixon saw it as a way to destroy the anti-war left, according to some recordings that were made in 1971, and he didn't like hippies and, you know, like you said, black people and the Mexicans. He was like, let's get them, you know, we don't like them and this is associated with them, so we're going to find a way to make this, you know, the next sin, the next thing that we're going to prohibit and stop people from using them. And prior to that, there weren't any problems with it. Nobody was causing any trouble. Just like now, people don't cause any trouble.
Yeah. Most trouble you have right now is dealing with the fact that it is in a black market in a lot of places because of what the government does, and there's an extra risk factor. Other than that, people ingesting it or smoking it, don't really cause too many problems. And I mean, the hypocrisy is so ridiculous, because I think the FDA has actually had to state that it does have medicinal benefits, which is in complete contradiction with the fact that it's still on the, what is it, the controlled substances and whatever level it is. Schedule one. The fact that it's the fact that the FDA or and whatever other organizations within the state apparatus have documentation that states this now, it's in direct violation of that by stating that so it's just insane that they still that other places still are criminalizing it, and the fact that all those years of that all those years that were wasted for research because beforehand just like cocaine and quite a few other of the so-called illicit drugs were all regularly used for a myriad of treatments for a whole litany of diseases and maladies and all this stuff, and had been for generations.
Like MDMA, that's kind of how it started. That's how it started. It was actually a drug that was used in therapy sessions, and they were having great success with it. Yes. And then people started saying, hey, wait a minute, this will be a fun party drug. And there was a small company that started selling it, you know, hey, this will make you have a blast when you go to the club. And the DEA was like, wait a minute, hold on, we need to be involved in this. You guys can't be using this stuff. And that's when they just completely shut everything down. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, here's the thing, like, because marijuana is still illegal at the federal level, I'm not really optimistic that that's ever going to change, because it brings in so much money for the government. I researched this a couple of months ago, and in 2014, the DEA seized 4,300,000 marijuana plants, arrested 6,310 people. And the value of assets that they seized from people growing marijuana was over $27 million. And so that's big, big money for them. They apparently, a DEA spokesman said that in 2014, just under 36,000 marijuana plants were destroyed in Washington state, which cost federal taxpayers about $950,000, about $26 per plant. So
almost $1 million to light a bunch of plants on fire.
Yeah. So they're inhibiting research, because companies that want to research the medicinal benefits of it can't unless they get permission from the DEA, because it's still under Schedule One. And then of course the government's making a boatload of money off of still having this illegal at the federal level, because of course we've got the whole civil asset forfeiture too. So they're taking your plants, they're taking your money, taking your stuff. And taxpayers are paying for all that, too, to jail people for this.
Yeah, and it's, some people will happily pay that money, the really crazy drug warriors. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's, you would think people would take that into consideration and push harder, but it's not a big enough issue for, there's plenty of people out there I come across who say, oh yeah, it should be legal, but they won't actually do anything about it unless a vote is actually put directly in front of them, so they won't even try.
Yeah, so true. And then, there's the whole opioid epidemic that's supposedly happening right now. And there are a lot of experts who say, you know what? Pot could help alleviate that problem. Give people that for pain instead.
That's a good substitute in my book.
I think so.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important, because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, go with agoristhosting.com.
We're back. Hazelton. I'm here with Jen Engler and Lisa Galasho. Is that how you pronounce your name, Lisa?
Yeah, I'm impressed. You got it. Usually people butcher it.
Bored, but I forget.
You got it.
Awesome. But I've got a great redemption story for the last act. I think I told my story about losing a yak a couple months ago. It was a few months ago.
Wasn't it the one that you just got?
Yeah, it was my new one that I went to all the way to almost Canada, Washington to get and drive back about 14 hours or something. It's crazy. Mm. But this one was 14 hours. It was like, I don't know. But anyway, he took off and he came back. It was the prodigal yak. It was really great. And I recently got a couple new bulls that I'm going to butcher next year that are just feeders. But I didn't want to put them in with the rest of the herd because I was afraid that the old bulls or the old bulls would scare them off. Like the newer or new-ish bull was scared off by the old bull. So we put them out in the other field, and unfortunately the other field doesn't have as great of fencing. So they found a way to cross the river, because that's our property is, half of it's covered by, bordered by the river. And they found a way to cross it, and they got out. One of them did. And so he was hanging out with the neighbor's cattle, and they called me and said, "Hey, I think I just saw your yak with our cattle." And I'm like, "Oh no, I can come and get it." But that's not when I talked. Never. I don't know. I'm mixing up my story. But they told us, we could just leave it in there for the night. And I came back in the morning and I said, "All right, I'm here for it." And we went out there, and we're looking, and we're out on their side by side, just driving the field, and they have a little bit of swamp, kind of marshy. It's a lot of the area around here is kind of marshy. It's kind of grassy. It's got a lot of sedge grass, but it's kind of weird and muddy and kind of gross. But so we're just going through it, and we're looking for this yak. We're chasing the cows around just to see what, if we can find him. We couldn't find him. We spent like an hour looking for him, and we're like, "Well, okay, if he shows up, then let me know, and we'll come over there and get him." But I don't know where he's at. I was hoping that he went back, but he didn't. The other bull was still there by himself, but we couldn't find him. So I wait a few hours, and I go about my day, and finally the neighbors come by. They didn't call me. They just showed up because I don't know, they're friendly, and it was nice. They just showed up and was like, "Oh, okay, we got him." And they're like, "You can leave him there for a while. He's not hurting anything." And I'm like, "All right, we'll be over there in a little bit." These guys are just great. They kept insisting. They're like, "Yeah, you don't have to get him. You just want to keep my yak?" But so we go over there, and we hop on a few four-wheelers because they got a big field, and it's just irritating to try and wrangle an animal in that size of a field with only one of them on foot. So we go out there, and we find him. He's there in the middle of the cow herds. We separate him, and we're trying to herd him into the outside of to the gate so we can run him down the road, because that's the only way, unless we're going to chase him across the river. And I didn't really want to try to do that. So we're chasing. It was really fun getting to whip around on the four-wheelers, and then he took off in some canyon. So we spent about 2 hours running through the bush on foot and kind of on four-wheelers. So going through, we got a few scratches, and yeah, it wasn't the most fun, but it was all right. And we finally got him out of there, and we got into the road. And then he jumped and he went across the river and just went right back where he came from. And so that was really easy after we got him out of the field. But it was great, and it was kind of fun. I don't know how much the neighbors enjoyed it, but I ended up going to spend some time with the chambers. So shout out to them. They're probably not listening, but I really appreciate having people who are willing to take time out of their day to help me out.
Help you wrap your yak.
Yeah.
Do you have a lasso? Like, I picture you on this horse, galloping around. maybe that would be an option for you. I don't know.
miss out on living in the suburbs and working with dogs. A dog gets loose in my neighborhood. I'm lucky if somebody will come help me, but I don't have four-wheelers we can chase them on. I'm really ticked about that. Man, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah. Rural life, it's the best.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I haven't been on a four-wheeler since, like, you know, I grew up in PA, so I was out in the sticks. And, yeah, we used to have them all the time, but, God, that's been years. I do miss that.
New hobby.
Yeah, it's fun.
Worms.
Yes. Well, this has been fun, guys.
Yep.
Remember, decriminalization, not legalization.
Right. Don't comply with gun laws.
Any laws.
Any laws.